Hello, CA family and any guests watching. My name's Coley. I'm one of the pastors on staff. Thanks for joining us today for our online service. God's grace compels us to lead spiritually convinced and unconvinced people to complete commitment to Jesus Christ. If you're looking for more information about the life of our church, just head to our website or our CA app. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you as you do.
Let's make every effort to enter into that rest today in this moment, as it is called today. Let's sing like this.
All you with weary souls, you tired ones, behold, Jesus is calling, will you listen? All you who thirst within, longing to be refreshed, in Jesus there is living water.
Let's sing again. All you with weary souls,
all you with weary souls, you tired ones, behold, Jesus is calling, will you listen? All you who thirst within, longing to be refreshed, in Jesus there is living water.
You say, come find rest for your soul. Come and be made whole. Sing this next verse. We just wait. Lord, your word says that strength will rise as we wait on you. It's difficult to wait. Let us not hurry ahead to the next thing, but be present today in this moment that we might hear your voice, receive your spirit. Let's sing the second verse. Let hurry fade away.
Let hurry fade away. Let hope arise today. Oh, Spirit, give us faith to trust you.
Come lay your troubles down.
Come lay your troubles down. And let God's joy abound. Goodness and mercy now surround you. You say, come find rest for your soul.
Wait on you,
we cast our burdens
Well, it's wonderful to be with you all. I love to be with my church family. Anybody who's visiting, such an honor to have you with us. I know there's some family and friends that are here for the baptisms, and we're so grateful that you would join us. My name is Matt, and I want to welcome you especially, and also want to welcome those of you across the street who are joining us and anyone else joining us online. Exciting to be a church in more than one place. Well, I also want to say happy Mother's Day, as Gerald did. None of us would be here without a mother. And so I'm grateful for my mom. I'm grateful for Lindsay, the mother of my children, and I'm grateful for all the moms here today, many of who, by the way, are moms to this church. And thank God for women who take on that critical role of being moms among us. Thank God for moms. Well, the writers of the Gospels all tell us more than what Jesus taught. In fact, they all seem to agree that to really, really understand Jesus, you have to know what he's like with people. And you have to know how people's lives were changed by knowing Jesus. And that's what this series that we've been in is really intended for. Each time we fill in the blank, Jesus and, we're discovering something new about Jesus that is revealed in those encounters. Something about real life and even new life with Jesus. If you're unconvinced about Jesus but curious about him, this series will help you. If your faith in Jesus spans many, many, many years, then you know that to keep looking at Jesus only leads to discovering more and more of what is true of him and of life with him. Several years ago, I met a man who was writing a history of Eagle Rock, this neighborhood where our church meets. And he wanted to include in his history, this book that he was writing, wanted to include a chapter on the churches of Eagle Rock. So this guy invited people from all the different churches in the area. In fact, he called the churches and asked if they would send a representative to meet with the Eagle Rock Historical Society and to share the stories of the different churches in our neighborhood. And I got to go on our behalf to that meeting from Christian Assembly to share that story. This was several years ago, and I quickly realized when I arrived at this meeting and kind of took a look around that I was the youngest person in the room by at least 40 years. I think that most of the churches chose to send their oldest member of their congregation to this meeting. In fact, the first person who spoke was a 98-year-old woman who got up and she told about where her church was located and different buildings that they had built and had occupied and used as a church. And then I'll never forget, she stopped talking and said, "I'm going to sit down now because I'm out of breath." And then a man stood up. He was clearly also right around her age. And he had brought a brick with him. I'll never forget this. He brought a brick that he talked about for probably 20 minutes, the color and shape and design of this brick. And when he was finished, a few other antique people got up and spoke about buildings and locations. Now, I love history. I'm a history buff, but this meeting was painfully boring. Everyone was looking at their watches and thinking about their parking meters. And then another man got up. Not a young man, but not as aged as the others had done. You could tell, though, there was something about this guy. There was kind of an air of just wisdom and life about him. And he got up and he said to everyone there, he said, "Before I tell you about my church, I want to remind us that when we talk about the history of the church in Eagle Rock, we're talking about people whose lives have been changed by Jesus in Eagle Rock. And that history," he said, "has not ended. It's still being written." There was a kind of silence in the room for a moment as the Holy Spirit kind of just brought a conviction to everybody in that place and a realization of the profound truth of his words. And for the rest of the meeting, the whole atmosphere changed as people started telling different stories, not about bricks and buildings, but about life and about people and about hope that comes from knowing Jesus. I'll never forget that meeting. What's church for? What's my purpose in church? Is church something to belong to, like a club or a gym? Is church something to show up for on the weekend or maybe on a retreat? Is church just a calendar of volunteer events? Today, I want us to look for help to answer those questions by learning from someone. We're going to fill in the blank with this person's name. Learning from someone who personally knew Jesus longer and maybe better than anyone else. We're going to learn from Mary, Jesus's mom. In some ways, we could fill in the blank, Jesus and people in church. But it's got to be more personal than that, which is why we're learning this from Jesus and Mary. She usually comes up around Christmas time, but there's more to be told about Mary in the Bible. And a thorough look at Jesus and Mary reveals some remarkable lessons on what church is for and how you and I personally participate in it. So there are some verses in your bulletin that you can look at and follow along as we read some words about Mary, and the words will be on the screen as well, but if you'd like to make some notes, there's space there for you to do that. Remember, when we talk about the church, whether in Eagle Rock or anywhere, we're talking about people whose lives have been changed by Jesus. And so in the words that we read tonight, we're looking for four lessons from Jesus and Mary about church and the personal ways you and I get to be part of it. Okay, so first lesson is this. The first lesson we learn comes from the fact that Mary received Jesus. Mary received Jesus. And that is essential to what church is and does. And it's deeply personal. Look at Luke's words in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. Some familiar words from Christmas time here. Gabriel appeared to Mary, said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think, what on earth could the angel mean? "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus." Look down at verse 34. Mary asked the angel, how is this possible? How is this going to happen? "I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And then the angel tells Mary about Elizabeth, her cousin, who was believed to not be able to have children, and yet she's pregnant now. And look at verse 37. He says, "For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Mary received Jesus. She received him by grace, God's favor. Mary didn't take a class or pass a test or complete a quest to prove that she was worthy. There's nothing at all in the Bible to suggest that Mary was immaculately conceived or born without sin. We don't need to explain away God's grace by making stuff up. Twice the angel tells her that this is grace. This is nothing but grace. And that's the only way any of us receive Jesus. There's only one kind of church in this world, and it's the church of sinners saved by grace, who receive Jesus simply with faith. By God's power, Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb. She didn't understand it. She couldn't explain it. She had questions about it, but she believed what God says is true. So let it be, were her words of wisdom. Let it be. Whether church is new for you or you've been around church all your life, you and I cannot personally understand what church is for, or how to be part of it without personally receiving Jesus by grace, with faith that God's word is true, and with him, nothing is impossible. The question for anyone in or around church is, have you received him? Have you received Jesus? And if not, I urge you to receive him. Receive him right now by trusting him for a new life that you cannot produce on your own, but it is by the grace of God. The Bible says God so loved this world, he came in the form of man, conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, the Son of God, to rescue all who receive him. Your way to freedom and forgiveness is to receive Jesus, trusting him to be the forgiver of your sins. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who died and now lives to never die, trusting in him. He will lead you to life that is only possible with him. And that's the first lesson about church that we learn from Mary's experience with Jesus, is that church would be nothing without people like you and me receiving Jesus by grace, believing God's word to be true. That's what makes church, and that's what makes church so personal for each one of us. Not a building, not a religious program or a certificate of membership, but each of us receiving him. And having received Jesus, he will not be left. He will not be left in a building. This is the second lesson that we learn from Mary about church and what church does, what church is for, and how we participate in it, is this, that Mary didn't just receive Jesus, Mary carried Jesus. She carried Jesus in her womb. She carried him in her hands and in her arms when she swaddled him and laid him in a manger. When wise men showed up to see and worship the newborn king, Matthew's gospel tells us they entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. May it be true that whoever enters this place where Christian Assembly gathers to worship can say they entered this place and they saw Jesus with his church. May it be true that whoever enters my home and yours can say they entered the house and they saw Jesus with you and with me. Mary didn't just carry him on days when she wanted to, or when her hands were free. She didn't just carry him at home. Mary carried Jesus to the temple for his dedication. She carried him to Egypt when a madman wanted to kill him. And when it was safe to return home, she carried him to Nazareth. Every year, she carried him to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when Mary could no longer carry Jesus in her arms, she kept everything she saw and heard about him in her heart. She was devoted to him. Church exists to carry Jesus. And that's why church is so personal. We carry Jesus, each of us, with deep devotion, and we carry Jesus together for all the world. How are you doing at carrying Jesus with you? Carrying him with you to work or to school or to time with friends, or carrying him in dark times and in great times. How are you doing at carrying Jesus on a daily basis, wherever you go? One of the quickest, easiest ways to assess that is to pay attention to your words. The words that you speak. Is the character and attitude of Jesus heard in the words that you speak? Another way is to consider what attention you are giving to God's word. Are you taking in the scriptures and pondering God's word every day so that you can carry his word and his truth with you into all that you do? How else can we deliver to others the hope of the world without carrying Jesus with us in word and in action? How can we carry Jesus without God's word being kept and pondered in our hearts and in our minds? This week, I watched some of the coverage of the selection of a new pope. I'm sure probably a lot of you may have watched that or seen the videos of the white smoke coming out of that smokestack and everything. And I caught this little interview of a journalist asking a bishop for his input. This was before the new pope was selected. She was asking this bishop for his input on what qualities should the next pope have. She asked him, what should we be looking for? And this bishop immediately, without skipping a beat, he said, someone who will declare the resurrection of Jesus. That was his answer right away. I was sitting there watching my TV saying, amen, brother. And I'm praying that that will be true of this new pope, because apart from people who have received with faith the resurrection of Jesus, no other organization, no company or institution or association carries that message of hope for all the world. That's what church is for. And that's why being part of it must be so personal for each of us. This is essential to understanding church and how you and I get to be part of it. Mary carried Jesus, and just as she did, we carry in us the hope of the world. That's the second lesson that we learned from her about church and our personal participation in it. Here's the third one. Mary was challenged, as we will all be challenged, to keep her attention on Jesus. She had to keep her eye on that boy. And sometimes she had to even search for him. Look at these verses in Luke's gospel again. He tells us every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when Jesus was 12 years old, They attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first. Any parents in the room know that feeling? At first, it's kind of like, oh, it's a little quieter around here. because they assumed, verse 44, he was among the other travelers. He was somewhere running around with the other kids. And that was the custom of that time, to travel together in like a caravan of your family and your neighbors would travel together. But when Jesus didn't show up that evening, they started to worry. And they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. Three days later, they finally discovered Jesus in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers. You would have thought maybe that was the first place they'd look for Jesus, but sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them, asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think, though. And again, any parents felt that before about your kids? I don't know what to think about this. Son, his mother said to him, what are you doing to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search? Jesus asked. Didn't you know I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother, she never forgot that. She never forgot. She stored all these things in her heart. Mary, who received and carried Jesus with such faith and such deep devotion, nevertheless let Jesus out of her sight. And she lost track of him. My son Luke turned 20 this year, hard to believe. And when he was about 7 years old, we were living in one of the houses here on this block on the church campus. And I don't remember what was happening this one particular evening, but Lindsay and I were probably in the kitchen or something. And 1 minute Luke was with us, and the next he was nowhere to be found. Nowhere in the house, nowhere in the yard outside, not down the sidewalk. And so I started calling his name outside. Luke! Lindsay ran outside. She started calling his name. I started running up the street calling his name. Luke! Luke! Pretty soon, neighbors start coming out of their houses. They start calling, Luke, we're running around. It's starting to get scary. It felt like an hour passed, but probably it was only about 15 minutes when we heard one of our neighbors' voices say, found him. So we ran to where we heard that voice coming from, and lo and behold, there he was in the kids' church playground. Up in the play, you know, play structure there. I ran over there to him. I didn't know if I wanted to hug him or wring his neck. And I said to him, like, Mary, what are you doing? Why did you do this? Didn't you hear us calling your name, Luke? Yeah. Well, why didn't you come? I wanted to play hide and seek, he said. Oh, brother. It's an awful, awful feeling to realize you've lost sight of a child. You'll stop everything to search until you find your child. You'll shout, you'll holler, you'll stir neighbors out of their homes. Mary and Joseph had been traveling with family and friends who they had to leave behind. They had to reorder their traveling plans, but none of that mattered. They had to find Jesus and would not give up until they did, all the way back to Jerusalem, back to the temple. And when they found him, with relief and bewilderment, Jesus returned home with Mary as she kept pondering what her son had done, what Jesus had done. And like Mary, we each have to keep our eyes and our devotion on Jesus, sometimes even calling on one another to do the same. Hey, look toward Jesus. Hey, keep your eye on him. The Bible says his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But Mary's response was, "Let it be to me according to your word, God." And Peter said to Jesus, "Where else would we go? You alone have the words of life." And God said to Jeremiah, "Just ask me and I'll tell you unsearchable things that you do not know." We will be challenged at times to keep our attention on Jesus. Times when you and I need to notice that we've lost sight of him and we need to get our eyes back on him. There will be times when the Word of God and the Spirit of God will challenge the direction that we want to go, and I'll need your help and you'll need my help to retrace some steps and look for Jesus again. In every generation, that is essential to what church exists to do, and essential for how you and I personally participate in it. It's quite a responsibility, in fact. And that leads us to this fourth and final lesson that Mary teaches us about what church is for. Jesus gave his disciples responsibility for Mary's ongoing care. John's gospel tells us as Jesus was suffering on the cross, look at the words that John tells us. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Mag, a lot of Marys in the Bible. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, that's John, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son," indicating John. And he said to John, here's your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. We're also told in the book of Acts that Mary was not only cared for by John, she was also part of that little band of 120 believers who, having no earthly social or political power, were nevertheless empowered by the Spirit of God to change the world in the course of all human history. And Mary got to be part of that because John was taking care of her. John took responsibility to care for her, and he kept her involved in the ongoing work of Jesus and what Jesus cared about. And in every generation, Jesus gives people who receive him the responsibility to keep church in the ongoing work of Jesus and what Jesus cares about. People sometimes ask how Christian Assembly has continued to be fruitful over the years. And the only answer to that question is by the grace of God, received by people like you and me who keep taking responsibility to care about what Jesus cares about. There's no Christian assembly without Christians assembling and taking up that responsibility. That's why we choose as a church, in fact, to use the word partnership instead of membership, like that partnership class that's coming up. Partnership communicates responsibility that we carry together. We like to say that your partnership with Christian Assembly really begins when you start calling this church your church instead of just a church or that church. But when it becomes your church, then you take up that responsibility with us. Jesus said to John, "Here is your mother." And he said to Mary, "Here is your son." And maybe today we need to just look around this room and be reminded, here is your church. Those that we care for, it's one another. Church is not a place to go, it's a people to be. Church must be lived by people who keep receiving Jesus and keep carrying Jesus, not having all the answers, not pretending to be perfect, but trying not to let Jesus out of our sight and taking responsibility to keep caring about what Jesus cares about in our time. Alex, would you join me wherever you are? And so we keep loving. We keep caring for one another. We keep giving from our resources, our tithes and offerings. We keep taking responsibility to open our homes, to make time in our schedules, to lead life groups and Bible studies and Thrive classes, praying together and for each other and pointing one another back toward God's Word time after time after time. And on the weekends, every usher, every greeter, every musician or vocalist, every CA student, leader, parking team member, coffee maker, prayer partner, Kids Hope mentor, and Kids Church volunteer, men and women, faithful, maturing lovers of Jesus who serve, who lead and teach and pray, and build one another up, and invite others to receive Jesus. That is the only way the Bible says that church keeps being church. It's the only way that we keep carrying Jesus together. And that's what church is for. And that's how you and I personally are part of it, each of us. There's really nothing like the church. When our attention is on Jesus, when we take personal responsibility to keep caring for what Jesus cares about, our words and our actions will declare hope in this world. As we believe together and carry that message together, that with God, nothing is impossible. That is who our God is. That is our Savior. And the question for everyone in church, have you received Him? Have you received your Savior? And if you have, are you carrying Him with you? Wherever you go, is His truth on your lips? Is His grace in your words and in your actions? Are your eyes fixed on Him? Or have you gotten distracted by other counterfeits of hope? Nothing will match what Jesus has done for us and offers to this crazy world. And so I'm grateful to be part of a church with you that takes responsibility to carry the message forward as we care for one another. Would you say amen to that? Let's pray. Lord, it is all for your glory, what we do. It is for your name, Jesus, and your name alone. And so, Lord, we worship you. We respond to you, thankful for your mercy, thankful for your love. Lord, I pray that you move by your Spirit in hearts and minds and souls in this place right now. And anyone who needs to be led to you, anyone who needs to receive you, I pray that by your Spirit you lead them to do that right now. You can trust him. You can trust his words. You can trust the life that he offers you. God, would you lead us, strengthen us, embolden us, empower us, equip us, just like you did that early band of believers who received that great outpouring of your Spirit. Empower us as a church to keep taking responsibility, to care about what you care about. May we be people who bring into all the world the hope that only you give. In Jesus' name, amen.